Welcome to Writers on Writing on 88.9 KUCI FM. We are broadcasting from the University of California, Irvine campus. Today is Wednesday. June, is it the 22nd, 23rd? I'm not even sure anymore, but I know it's 2020. And we're in the middle of a pandemic here and doing our best. I'm Barbara DeMarco Barrett, and today my guest is Lucy Britch. Lucy has written for Catapult, Story, Brooklyn, Split Lip Magazine, and The Sun, and her writing has been nominated for a Pushcart Prize. Sad Janet is her first novel and was named one of the best books of the summer by Lit Hub, The Millions, and Refinery 29. And a past guest, Cynthia Dupree Sweeney, author of The Nest, she was on a few years ago, she blurbed the book and said, a biting, pitch-perfect novel about one woman's desire to stay true to herself, hilarious, wise, wicked, and tender. Welcome to the show, Lucy.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Let's begin with you introducing the novel and talking about its genesis.
Oh, I don't know where to start. That's a big question.
How to come about?
I've been writing it for a few years. It was I don't know how to answer that. Oh dear, this is a bad start already.
Well, because I was thinking as I was walking this morning, I was thinking that one of the themes of the novel is that it's an indictment of the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah.
That pills can and should stop us from feeling sad. Why not take a pill and be happy? And Janet succumbs to the pressure and takes the Christmas pills so she'll be happy or at least be able to tolerate Christmas. So
yeah.
That seemed to be one of the main themes for me. I mean, there's so many sub-themes going on here, as with any book, I think. But talk about that.
Yeah, there's the idea of Big Pharma and how feelings are sort of monetized now more. And I don't really agree with that. I'm obviously clinical depression, something else that might need the pill, but I can see it going another way. Like it becoming more like this idea of a Christmas pill sort of just came to me a few years ago because Christmas is such a huge big deal, and I suppose I wasn't feeling very Christmassy at the time, and I thought, oh, maybe if there was a pill then I would take it just for a short time. So that's sort of how it came about, really, I suppose, like my own desire for this pill didn't exist.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you just said you were working on it for a few years, but how many years was that?
Maybe about 4 years ago I started writing it, and then only just about a year and a half ago I really felt like I could do it, so then I finished it.
So during that time, because I know you've had shorter pieces published, would you put it away and work on a story or an essay?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I hadn't even really finished a short story for quite a few years ago. I just didn't really feel capable. And then once I'd finished a short story and had that published, I think it gave me a sort of a confidence that I could maybe finish a whole novel.
You know, then, you know, this inspires a whole other line of thought for me, which is, how did you come to writing?
Well, I always wanted to be a writer. It was always the only thing I ever wanted to do, but I just don't think I ever really believed I could. I mean, I always loved books and I always wanted to work with books, but I didn't think it was something I could do. I don't know. I just didn't really believe in myself. I didn't go to writing school. I did English and culture at university, but I just didn't really ever believe in myself until more recently.
Well, when the idea started crystallizing, did you do any sort of outline or plotting, or did you just jump into it, or did you write a story first, or how did, you know, maybe talk a little bit about actually the process of getting the story on the page?
I'm not really a big planner. I don't really have a process. I always feel like I'm probably doing it wrong, but I always think as long as I get there in the end, it doesn't matter really. But I had the basic idea for the novel, but it just sort of, I don't know, I write quite sort of lucidly and then I go with it, and then I sort of piece it together at the end. I work very strangely compared to other writers, I think.
No, I think a lot of writers especially new writers think that they need to have a plot or an outline before they can get going. And so many writers are kind of seat of the pants, kind of, let's see where this takes me, you know, with the process.
I'm definitely not like that. I sort of, for me, writing is a really organic thing. I can only really write when I feel it. I can't really force it. So to have a plan, sort of, it doesn't feel creative to me. I know other people can't work without them, but for me, it sort of stifles me a bit. I'm getting a bit better at it now as I get more used to it. Now I'm writing other things. It's sort of, it's useful, but I don't really ever stick to it.
So the voice of Janet, it's such a quirky voice. And did you have to work at finding that voice, or is that your writing voice? Is that what comes out when you work on stories or whatever you write?
Yeah, I think it's a sort of heightened version of myself in a way. Mm-hmm. She's not me, obviously, but there are parts of her that are me. So I sort of find that I found the sad Janet in me, really, and brought it out. But she's not me.
Yeah, yeah. And the first person present tense as well, you know, it's happens to be one that I like very much, because you as the reader are in the character's shoes. I mean, there's no real distance. And
I always really write like that. It's just what comes naturally, I think. I don't know. If I try to write any other way, it doesn't really feel right. I always want my characters, so I sort of have to be them as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because, you know, it's interesting. I mean, usually writers in the first person tend to do past tense. And I don't know. I love present tense.
I think we felt like it was sort of, we needed the emergency, that's what I think of the word now, sort of the urgency of it, because it was better sort of now. It sort of, it worked the character more to be that in the present tense.
Yeah, interesting. I love the epigraph, which really is the entryway into the book, which is by John Waters. And he says, if you just broke up with someone, be sad. If you just ran over somebody drunk driving, feel depressed. You shouldn't take a pill that makes you feel okay about terrible things. Did you have that epigraph as you were writing, or did you find it later?
Oh yeah, I'm a huge John Waters fan. I've loved him all my life. He's just brilliant. But I read that a few years ago in an interview he did, and I had it stuck on my pin board. And it was just, but I'd already started writing Sad Janet before that, but it sort of fitted with the book. So it sort of guided me through it.
Yeah, I love epigraphs. They always, you know, they tell you so much about what's to come. I have to read you one more thing from your book, which is close to the beginning. And it's, you know, so much of this book is funny and true. And this is, might be in the first chapter, second chapter. Anyway, the character says, my mother was overcompensating for something, everything maybe, like everyone else. That was all the holidays were about, filling the void. As a result, Christmas at our house was brutal. Like someone sitting on your chest and punching you in the face repeatedly, but in an ugly snowflake sweater and to the sounds of Dolly Parton singing Jingle Bells. That just made me laugh. I just had to laugh out loud at that. And there's so many.
That sums up Christmas for me.
So when you're writing, are you actually seeing if what you're writing feels funny to you, or do you read it aloud? How does that go?
Yeah, well, definitely. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's definitely what's funny to me, and I hope other people find it funny too. But if I write something and it makes me laugh out loud, then I think, oh, maybe that's good, and then hopefully someone else will find it funny. They might not. Sometimes someone might come back and say, oh, I don't get this, but quite often they do.
Do you have readers? Do you run your stuff by anybody before you?
I don't. I'm very, very, the only person who reads anything I write is my agent, Stacey. I keep things very close to my chest.
Has it always been that way?
Yeah. I have shown things to my sister sometimes, but I generally don't let anyone read anything I write ever.
So before you got your agent, I mean, so you weren't in a writer's group, you were writing on your own?
Yeah, I've never taken a writing class or been part of a group. I've only ever written on my own. It was always quite a private thing. And I only really shared it with the world, you know, in the last few years.
So where did you get the confidence then to find an agent?
My agent found me.
Oh, so through one of the publications?
Yeah, I was looking for an agent at the time, but she approached me she read one of my stories in The Sun, and she said she just really loved it, and then we clicked, and it was meant to be.
You know, that's great when it happens that way. I do hear of it happening that way, and that has to be the best.
It was lovely. I mean, yeah. I was looking for an agent at the time, but it was just fate.
No, I love that. I think it's been said before, but your work in a way is reminiscent of Tessa Moshfegh's work. But your character, Janet, is lighter somehow. She's funny, or maybe you have a lighter touch. You're just funnier than Tessa. I don't know. But is she someone that you have read or admired? What do you think about that, being compared in any way to her?
I always do get compared to her, and that's I'm very flattered. She's brilliant, obviously, and I do like her writing, but I'm not really the same as her. I think we write about the same things, but I don't really think my style is like her at all. I think she's possibly much darker than I am. Like you said,
yeah, your stuff is so light. I wouldn't call it, I know one of the reviews I read said darkly comic, something like that. And that kind of fit, but I wouldn't call it humor either. You know, I don't know. I think it's just quirky. To me, it's literary fiction with a quirky cast or something. Yeah. But was the beginning always the beginning? We have Janet, she's in the bathroom, and she is, I think, at work. She's at work at the shelter where she works. Has that always been the beginning?
Not necessarily exactly the beginning, because, I won't spoil it, but it starts with her in the bathroom. But that came later. Really, but it always started with her at the shelter as like an in life.
Yeah, so then take us through a little bit of the process of this then. I mean, do you barrel through, or do you have to get a paragraph exactly perfect before you go on to the next?
No, not at all. I write really fast. I write a lot of rubbish really fast, and then I go back and edit really slowly. I sort of have to get it out, and I write in really random bits, and it's madness. I always say my writing is just madness. I don't really know how it comes together at the end, but it does somehow.
So when you say really fast, do you mean that you might have written this draft in 6 months and then spend, 4 years revising, or how?
Less than that even, really. I mean, I can write a really large chunk, like 10 pages in a day, and then spend about a week making it make sense and making it better.
And then go on and then continue chronologically with the story?
No, I don't work chronologically at all either. I've since Sad Janet, I've written two other books, and one I actually did write chronologically, and it's the first thing I've ever written properly with a beginning, middle and end. But generally I write like random bits, and then I sort of place them like almost like a jigsaw. So I'm very strange.
No, I think that's actually encouraging, because I have a few students who work like that, and they feel as you do that they're doing it all wrong. But I think, we all find our way, right? I mean, we all have a different process.
I always think I'm doing it wrong, but as long as at the end it's a book, I don't really mind.
Well, obviously you didn't do it wrong with this one, because it's in my hand. It's a beautiful hardcover book. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Writers on Writing. I'm with Lucy Bridge. Her book is Sad Janet, published by Riverhead Books. Has a beautiful image of, I think it's a miniature greyhound wearing a sweater on the front. How did that cover come about? Do you know?
Yeah. Well, the first cover they sent me, it didn't really feel right. It was fine, but it wasn't amazing. And so I asked them to go see what else they had come up with. And they sent me this, and it just felt perfect. They didn't know, but I used to have rescue greyhounds, and one of them was the color of the dog on the book, and it felt like fate again. It was just perfect. It made me really happy when I saw it, and I just thought, yeah, this is the cover.
Isn't that odd, you know, that they used to rescue greyhounds and they chose a greyhound? I think that is so interesting.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful cover, and it reminded me of a greyhound a friend of mine has. So when you started out, when you started sending your stories out, did you deal with rejection at all, or was your stuff just picked up immediately?
No, a lot of rejection. I still get rejection. It's, as they always tell you, it's part of it. But I did have a lot of rejection. And then the first thing, I can't remember what the first thing I had was, but it was just something small. But it was, you know, that gave me enough confidence to keep going, I suppose.
You know, rejection is one of those things. I mean, it means you're in the game, but it's also, I don't know if it ever gets easier to deal with. Mm-hmm. I think maybe if you get used to it and you realize that, you know, it can really decimate, I think, a writer's self-confidence, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, someone told me that it's hard, even if you've written novels, it's still hard to get short stories published. And I think that's definitely true. It seems to be anyway.
And what about social media? Are you doing anything on Twitter, Facebook, or anywhere?
I am on Twitter, but I not very much. I just sort of keep my toe in. I tend to try and stay away from social media.
Does your publisher want you to be more involved? What are publishers saying these days?
I'm sure they would like me to be more involved, but they don't really push it. They know that I'm not really sort of sociable, so it's fine. I'm on Twitter and I'm there, so I'm not completely, you know, in the woods, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you've spent much time in the U.S. Or with the U.S., you know, literary community. I'm so curious how you find it in terms of what it's like in where you live, you know, what the community, literary community is like in England. And I don't know.
I haven't ever really been part of anything here. Most of my friends who are writers are all in America. And most of the things I'd say nearly all the things I've ever had published are in American literary magazines. I've just never really been part of anything here because I always kept my writing to myself, really. And I don't live in a big city or anything. I've just never really been a part of any community like that.
Are there a lot of literary magazines there that, you know, that would be right for your work? Or
maybe not. I think because most of my peers are sort of in America, I've just always gravitated towards you. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There are literary magazines here, obviously, but I never really felt like they were right for my sort of writing.
So, okay, back to the book. I wanted to ask you about the shelter where Janet works and why you chose that job for her.
Well, I had that job when I left university. I worked at a shelter for a few years, so I suppose I'm just writing what I know in that classic way.
And then Melissa is her boss, and her boss has a few problems of her own, has children. Talk about secondary characters. And Melissa is a good one. She's there from the start, from the first page.
I don't know what to say. Obviously,
was she based on anybody? Was she
no,
a composite?
No, no, no one in it is really based on anybody.
I mean, she was kind of a, you know, straight man, you know.
Yeah.
It's like Janet is
Janet doesn't really get on with her family, then she has to sort of have her own, she's got her own other family at the shelter that she works with. She, obviously, she likes dogs better than people, but I suppose she's got this like other weird people that work at the shelter who are also a bit not good with people, I suppose.
You do interior really well. And I think like one of the strengths of this novel is that it's visual and sensory, and there's so many scenes, so that I always think, you know, the way to keep readers interested is to write in scenes so that, you know, we can see what's going on, and you do that, but you also give us quite a bit on the character's internal life. And I wonder if you could talk to that. I mean, do you see that as one of your strengths as a writer?
I don't know. I wouldn't say I have any strengths as a writer. I'm not really good at saying things like that. But I think what you're saying about the scenes, I'm really into. Thanks.
Okay.
I don't think I really have any strength as a writer, really. I'm not really good at seeing any good qualities in anything I do, but I'm a bit self-deprecating to keep getting told off for. But when I write, quite often I'm thinking of it almost like a film. So in terms of scenes in a film, I watch a lot of them, and I would like to write one day. So I'm sort of always visualizing it. I think that's where that comes from.
You know, there's so much that I think writers can learn from watching film, actually. I don't think TV does the same, even all the wonderful programming that's on, but films, you know, because novels and films are both, you know, basically dramatic writing, right?
Yeah,
and
exactly,
so
definitely.
There's so much you can learn from watching film.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yes.
What about, we have a few minutes left. I wonder if you can talk about getting out of your own way. Like, do you ever hit blocks or hit walls and you don't know where
all
to go?
Time. Yes, all the time.
What do you do?
Well, I'm usually always writing more than one thing at once, so I'm a bit strange. So I always can, like, if something's not working, I can go and do something else. So that helps. But I also know that if something isn't working, I can just come away completely and maybe just have a day off writing. I think there's so much pressure on us to feel like we need to write every day. And sometimes we just need a day off, really.
You know, I don't think it's strange at all to have more than one thing going. I mean, I think that, you know, you go where the heat is. And if you're working on your book or story and it's not happening, then yeah, go somewhere else.
Exactly,
I think,
yeah.
I know writers who actually even have projects in different rooms so that
right.
Story isn't working. Well, these are people that live sort of in the country that have big houses, right? You know,
my house is tiny. I don't have room for that.
yeah. But it, you know, it's like, instead of just kind of battling your way through, just give it a break.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think writers are far too hard on themselves. Really, I think if something isn't working, it doesn't necessarily mean it's something you're doing wrong. It just maybe means you need some time out from it and some sort of different perspective.
Yeah, I agree. What about before we go? I wanted to ask you about letting it chill. I mean, do you, like, after you write something, will you put it away for a while and just, you know, give it a week, a month, a year, I don't know, until it feels unfamiliar before you pick it up and read it? Or do you just keep going with it? And
now I keep going with it until it's done. And I don't really sleep until it's done. And then I will probably send it to my agent. He will tell me her honest opinion, and then I'll go away and have to fix it. But short stories, I definitely can put away for a long time, then come back to them until I think they're right.
In terms of your agent, will your agent edit and really get involved with the work?
She's brilliant. Yeah, we're sort of a creative team. She gets really involved, and she's the only person I'd really let read anything, and whose opinion I trust at the early stages. So
Yeah, that's exciting. It's great to have an agent like that.
Yeah, she is very brilliant.
We are approaching the end of our time. I wonder if you have a great question. Nobody likes this question, but if you have any advice for the new writers listening who are working their way through a book or stories or whatever.
Yeah. I don't really agree with giving anyone writing advice, because I believe you sort of find your own way there. But I think you just ignore all the advice and do what you think's right, really. I mean I'm proof that you don't have to go to a writing school and you don't have to do it properly. You can just muddle along, and if you really want it, then you will get there, I suppose.
That I think that's good advice.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much, Lucy, for being on the show, and best of luck with Sad Janet.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.